You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football
heaven. Here we'll talk more about Bama's big win last night and Tennessee's upcoming game later tonight, much later. John Talty joins us from 24/7. It's been a while since we've talked to John because he has been busy finishing up a book, but he just recently wrote a very interesting piece about gambling and how it could affect the college sports ecosystem with the big gambling controversy going on in baseball and so many other places. We say hello to John. John, good afternoon. Great to have you back.
Yeah, Paul, great to hear from you.
So I'm afraid to ask, I trust the book is complete. Is that right?
It is. Well, I mean, it's always being updated, right, Paul? You know, there's things happening every day, but the first run of the manuscript is done, and that was a relief. And you know, now I've been able to enjoy some college basketball and all that's happening with that, and what's, you know, I'm sure to be a very busy spring transfer portal window for football as well.
Indeed, we'll get to basketball in a minute, but I want to talk about this headline that you didn't put the headline out there. You put a story out there about college athletics, and explain to us why it is so ripe for a disaster.
Yeah, it's something that I think has been building for a while, and I think there's multiple factors to it. One, you know, it's very easy to gamble now legally. I still live in a state, Alabama, in which you cannot legally gamble on sports. But, you know, since 2018, we've seen quite a few states that allow it, and it's very easy to do on your phone, you know, all these different apps, DraftKings, FanDuel. You know, so you're getting a lot more people that are gambling now, which includes you know, athletes. We've seen multiple kind of mini scandals pop up involving Iowa State players. There was kind of a sensational story in the last year about a former LSU football player and just a massive amount of bets he was putting on. You're going to see more and more of that just because of how easy it is to gamble. But I think the more concerning thing, and we've seen these scandals pop up more like 80s, 90s, but the idea of whether it's a point shaving type situation, if it's the situation that we're seeing in the NBA right now with one of the players, Jontay Porter, being alleged to kind of pretended to have an injury in order to score on an under from his stat line. I think you can see the potential for more of that happening just because of how easy it is to A, gamble, but B, to access athletes, especially on a college campus. I think that's the thing that people are most concerned about, that there's not quite as few many of protective layers that there are at other, you know, baseball, NBA, whatever it might be. And that's why you saw, you know, after my story came out, and not that it was tied, but after it came out, you know, NCAA President Charlie Baker came out and said that they're trying to ban prop bets across the country for college individuals, in part because of just the risk that comes with it.
I don't know, John. I think he read your article and decided I better speak.
If only I were that powerful, Paul. But I think it's something that's been building. And you've seen, you know, Maryland was one state that moved away from allowing individual prop bets on players, in part because of the harassment. And we saw players in the last week, including one at UNC, before their loss to Alabama last night, talk about just the harassment that they get when people lose their bets, these different prop bets. And, you know, I'm not going to go in the weeds on what a prop bet is, but essentially you can say, you know, a basketball player is going to have 10 rebounds over under, and you can bet on that. And I think people are, you know, letting their frustration to these losing bets known to the players. And that creates this kind of a tricky situation for them as well. But there's just a lot of different things that have been building toward this moment. And that's why you're seeing a lot of people concerned about where it could go moving forward. And there's just a belief that, you know, in the story talked about in the next 3 or so years that there's going to be a major scandal. People believe that to be a certainty at this point. And of course, there are a lot of people trying to prevent that, but that's a real concern of in college sports right now.
John Talty with us from 24/7. John is the national college football correspondent for 24/7. He spent a long time managing the sports department at AL.com, and prior to that covered the University of Alabama. You covered the hiring of Nate Oates a couple of years ago, and it was just fascinating to watch that game last night, John, and think about what this man has accomplished in a really very short period of time. We'd like to have you reflect on his success.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things to consider. One, and you know, college basketball was my first love, and I was a fan of Nate Oates before he got to Alabama because I saw that he was doing interesting things at Buffalo. You know, they had a big NCAA tournament upset. They were, you know, just very aggressive offensively, and you know, I'm not pretending like I was the only one. I think a lot of people who really love basketball were really curious, like, what this guy could do at a bigger school with more resources. I remember his hiring came out of nowhere. There was no mention. There's no smoke of him possibly being Alabama's coach. It just basically dropped in a press release, which essentially never happens anymore. And so that was, you know, I know Greg Byrne has that reputation for being a ninja in his hires. Like, it's basically, you know, that was probably his number one accomplishment in terms of a hiring, that no one knew Nate Oates was really coming. But we've seen, Alabama is one of them, but I think we've seen it across the SEC, that schools have invested a lot of money into trying to be competitive in basketball. It was something that, as you know, Mike Slive made a huge priority at the end of his tenure at the SEC, and you're seeing the fruits of that, in which Alabama has invested money in their basketball program. Nate Oates is one of the highest paid coaches now in America. He runs a very fun style of offense that has attracted, you know, really good players, both out of the high school ranks, and also, I mean, we saw last night the impact of, you know, really good transfer players and what those guys were able to do in beating UNC. And so it's a remarkable, you know, turnaround. I've been in Alabama for more than a decade. Was there when Anthony Grant had some success but couldn't get over the hump. You know, then Avery Johnson had some success recruiting, never fully got over the hump. And here we have Nate Oates, you know, taking it to that next level, taking them to the Elite Eight, and in a very good position to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many football jokes that were uttered late last night and early this morning about the idea of Alabama meeting Clemson of all schools for a Final Four berth. Assuming Alabama wins, you've heard the basketball aficionados talk a lot about what it would mean for Alabama. We saw Auburn a couple of years ago, and Bruce Pearl is still living off of that Final Four, even though his NCAA record has been abysmal since. What would it mean to Alabama and that program to get over the hump tomorrow night?
Yeah, it just takes them to that next level. It's kind of remarkable that for a program that, again, has had some success in basketball, just hasn't been to a Final Four, you know, and they've come close, but just the record they've had in Sweet 16, which was noted quite a bit last night, this is just a team that just kind of seems to keep bumping their head against that ceiling, and so you're seeing them start to break through last night. I think beating a good UNC team was a huge deal. You know, Clemson is a team they lost to earlier this year, so it's not a gimme, but just to get to that Final Four, I think, you know, further kind of enhances what Nate Oates is doing. I think that there have been questions, from some of my colleagues wondering after some of the way they've lost in the NCAA tournament the last few years, like, is his style, can it work come March, right? I think that was a question that was really apparent last year when they lost to San Diego State, where the shooting was off and they just got beat up against a more physical team. Last night, shooting was well, but they were able to win. And I think if they can get to the Final Four with the style of play that they've used all year, I think it just, you know, reinforces that it is possible. And I think it'll reinforce when the season ends, guys who are transfers looking at different options, that Alabama will be at the top of their list, knowing they can come in and play in a fun system and have an opportunity to score and compete at the highest level.
John, I know Greg Byrne just extended his contract, as you said, made him one of the highest paid coaches in the country. Talk to us about keeping him long term. And I realize there's a tendency to think that everyone wants to leave to go elsewhere, whether it's Kentucky next year or Michigan State in a couple, whenever that job becomes open. But what are your thoughts on how Greg Byrne has him locked in, and can he keep him?
I mean, I think he's done everything he can to keep him, right? I think that they've done everything right in that regard. I think, you know, the way that, again, on the verge of a Final Four, that you know, extension that they agreed to looks better already, right? You know, the way that it was announced, you know, there was some questions about, you know, how Alabama would do in this tournament. And that's already looking like if he hadn't done that, he would be the hottest candidate in America. And he already was, in many ways, one of the hottest candidates in America. So those questions are always going to be there, Paul. You know, whether it's, like you said, Michigan State, I think, is the one that people always mention, given his, you know, ties to that area, his respect for Tom Izzo. I think that's one that you will wonder about when it eventually comes open. UNC, Kentucky, you know, some of these premier blue blood jobs, I think that there's always going to be a little risk or a little concern when they open up about whether they would be interested in Nate Oates. You know, you wonder, and I've gotten no indication that there is, but you wonder, you know, one day if the NBA comes sniffing around, is that something that he would be interested in? We've seen quite a few guys, you know, have that itch and want to make that jump. But from an administrator standpoint, I don't think Greg Byrne could have done any more than what he's done. He has built up, I think, as about as strong as a firewall as you possibly could with that massive buyout to try to keep him locked in as much as possible. And now, could somebody pay it? Sure. But I think that that's been as, again, as strong of a measure as you could hope for right now. And clearly it's been a very mutually beneficial relationship that he's, you know, had the success he's had, and Alabama's, you know, benefited from it.
Great stuff as always, John Talty from 24/7, talking about the ecosystem of college sports. Is it ready for a scandal? And Nate Oates' unbelievable success. We'll take a short break here. Your phone call's around the corner. Griff is in the next hour, in case you wanted to warn the pets. And we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we're back, and Augie is up next in New Orleans.
Hey, Paul, props to Bama. I mean, that was a really good game. You know, I'm also impressed with Clemson. I mean, I never saw Clemson as a powerhouse in basketball. That's going to be a pretty big game. Do you have any strong feelings one way or the other?
Not yet. I mean, but you're right. I mean, Clemson has slowly built a really good program, but they haven't gotten much attention until now.
I don't know about you, but UConn is like a wrecking ball.
They look really good. I don't. And by the way, the winner of the game tomorrow night will play UConn next Saturday in Arizona.
Okay. Well, so much. If you make the Final Four, that's a victory.
Very.
But Paul, as confident as I was that NIL and the transfer portal were going to run Nick Saban off, didn't know it would happen this year. That's as confident as I am that Nate Oates is not going to leave Alabama. He'd have to be an idiot, wouldn't he? I mean, he's
well,
building
I think so
Alabama.
Because he's making the same money he'll make probably anywhere but the NBA, where the NBA could probably go higher. And he really does not have enormous pressure on him.
That's exactly my point. And Alabama historically is not known as a basketball power.
No.
Even LSU, we had some good times in Dale Brown.
Similar,
but
yeah.
When you think of basketball
success, but not
power,
a lot.
The only power that we used to have was baseball, and we're blowing it again there. We lost to Arkansas last night. But, Paul, yesterday you had mentioned that Matt does have some outreach from you, so didn't know that, and that's what makes you so special. And it is, some may argue, the second holiest or most holiest day of the year. And Matt, everybody has a cross to bear, and even the Savior himself, this was the day of days for him. So remember, having problems, I think, is the whole point of life. And I also have to give props to Legion. He looked like he was where he should be sitting on that set, doesn't he, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize how natural a television personality he was.
You know, being the holy day that it is, all of the inane, vacuous, ridiculous dribble that we put out, I think it's important to know that no matter which set in the show, I think most people, for the most part, wish everyone else well. If you're going through family trouble, if you're going through financial trouble, if you're going through employment trouble, health trouble, whatever it may be, it is disturbing when you hear people that have challenges. Even when we don't hear from Larry, I worry about him. And Joe talks about he's got issues. And I think everybody sends out their best wishes to all the others, and they are really concerned about it. And I always thought, Paul, that, wow, how simple-minded can it be for people who just call into a talk show, they're really worried about others they've never met and never will meet. But I'm in that boat, too. When everybody has a problem, it does it does cause you to think about them, and to, if you hear something really disturbing, it brings you down. How does that impact you?
I mean, you think about it all the time, Augie, but you also have to balance that with most people show up here because they really, they do want to forget things, not be reminded of them. So it is a little bit of a juggling act, but I feel great pride that there are so many people that gain something from being here. And, you know, we are the faces and the names, but the audience does make the most impact and the difference. And I thank you very much for your call, and I hope you have a very blessed Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Thank you very much. Chris is up next in Texas. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I was just wanting to call in on that, the guy on his Mount Rushmore, college football.
Yes, sir.
He leaves off Daryl K. Royal, Bo Schembechler, Bobby Bowden.
Well, here's the problem, Chris. You can only have four on a Rushmore. And I would,
yeah,
maybe,
no.
Maybe it's because I was at DKR on Monday. I'm in a Daryl Royal kind of mode, but he was an amazing coach, and his impact on the game should never be forgotten.
Yes, sir. I realize that because I've grown up a diehard Longhorn fan. I'm looking forward to coming to the SEC.
Well, we can't
this
wait.
Year.
If I remember correctly, I think Daryl Royal actually coached at Mississippi State one year.
He might have. That was way before my
time.
Yeah,
no. I mean, I wasn't covering that, of course, but I'm pretty sure that is correct. I'll double check that, but.
All right.
I mean, he is. I mean, we don't talk about Daryl Worrell because he retired from coaching in the 70s. But you know, he and you know, Frank Broyles became a lot better known because he was on TV. I just checked. Daryl Royal, thanks for the call. Coached for 2 years at Mississippi State. He was the head coach in 54 and 55. But what a resume at the University of Texas. Truly one of the most remarkable coaches of all time. Thank you very, very much for the call. And Brad is in Macon. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing, brother?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Man, you are just pulling all the stops out on Good Friday, aren't you? With JT and the grifter
coming in. If you're nice enough to partake on a holiday, we ought to at least show up.
Absolutely. Paul, just want to say I give you my top four Rushmores. I mean, it's not about spreading the wealth for me. It's about getting what you earn in life. And Bear Bryant's my number one. Saban is my number two. Eddie Robinson's number three.
You bet.
I mean, yeah. John Robinson from USC.
You know, is my number four. Brad, you reminded me of somebody who I think ought to be considered. And it's really not John Robinson. It is John McKay. And John McKay was
really
in many ways far more influential than John Robinson.
Absolutely. Well, McKay, came before and he did a great job. But, you know,
including a convicted whatever. Can't remember. What was OJ convicted for? I've lost track. Many things.
Oh, my God. But, I mean, John Robinson got me into playing football.
No, John Robinson was
USC,
a very good coach.
And I love Charles White.
I'm not besmirching his name, but Brad, thank you. But Eddie, but John McKay really was a legendary figure. He left USC in the mid-70s to go to the Tampa Bay Bucks, where I think he promptly lost every game. But that diminished his overall reputation. But as a college coach, he was spectacular. Sparks is up next. Hey, Sparks.
Hey, Brother Paul.
Hey there.
Happy Easter, man. Yeah, I was going to tell you about, I've been listening to radio on them Alabama games, man. And old Chris Stewart, man, he's something else. He's good. He gets into it.
I heard his call last night was pretty good.
Yeah. But we were talking about Yankees yesterday. And here you come, put a 36-year-old damn Yankee on here and says he left Bar off because he didn't want half of it to be Alabama. Well, what do you think Dabo went to college? And Dabo built a program. Well, I guess Maryland and Kentucky and Texas A&M were powerhouses before Bar got there, wouldn't he? Alabama lost 55 to nothing before Bar got there. And he won right. Three national championships with little puny white boys and got robbed in 66. Man, he's a damn Yankee. But anyway, keep on rolling tide and love you, Paul, and pray to the Lord. Roll tide. Thank you.
Thank you, Sparks. Always a pleasure. We'll take a break. We are 30 minutes away from the Griff. is that a good idea for on a holiday to give the audience Griff? I think it is. We will be back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Friday afternoon. Vance is next.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Vance.
You mentioned John McKay, deservedly so, by the way. and I know you'll know this, but it was just such a great line when he'd gone to Tampa Bay. I think they didn't win a game for 2 years in a row, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they lost every game the first year. I think Spurrier was the quarterback on that team. And the next year, they may have gone almost to the end of the season. I believe they finally won one.
And they asked John McKay, they said, what do you think about your team's execution? He said, I'm all for it.
That is one of the classic football shots of all time.
Yeah, a lot of the younger callers, there's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people might not realize or have even thought about what kind of good friends John McKay and Bear Bryant were, and also Darryl Royal.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
well, in fact, I'll share with you a story that isn't really a secret because it's been written about, but John Mitchell, you may have heard of him. He and Wilbur Jackson
absolutely
were the first men of color to go to the University of Alabama. And McKay called Bryant. John Mitchell told me this story at his house a couple years ago. McKay, who's the head coach at Southern Cal, he won 3 national championships or more maybe. He calls Bryant and says, hey, he said, Paul, that's what his closest friends called him, not Bear. He said, tell me about this guy named John Mitchell. And he said, who's that again, John? He said, John Mitchell, he's from Mobile, Alabama, and he's at a junior college in Arizona. He said, and I've been recruiting him, and I wanted to get your opinion, so I figured you'd probably seen him before. He said, hold on just a second, John. I got another call. He said, don't go anywhere. Bryant called in his assistant, told him, get on a plane and get to Mobile right now and get this guy. He didn't even know his name. And then he finished the call with John McKay, and it turned out to be one of the best players of that era. So that's how, I mean, they were close friends, but Bryant wasn't about to let, because the guy, I think Mitchell was home for spring break or Christmas or whatever, and that's how he ended up getting him.
And man, did the first, I hate to use it, it is, I don't know any other way to phrase it, because, you know, Bryant was trying so hard to integrate the football program.
Yeah.
But the first two African-American players he got,
well,
boy,
and I know
great.
This sounds like I'm spinning here for Coach Bryant, but I know this to be a fact. He brought others on campus prior to that, and they simply didn't work, and they didn't get any publicity because it wasn't like a formal deal, but he brought them on, and after a couple did not pan out, or maybe one or two, he decided, and you can take anything you want out of what I'm about to say, that if they were going to go through that on the very same campus that George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door, it had to be done correctly, and that's why in Bryant's estimation it took so long.
Well, I mean, I can't say anything negative about any of these other coaches, but I was young then, you were young.
Sure.
But what Bear Bryant went through in the times, and there were a few lulls in his success, but that was really an incredible feat he carried out to really get that all going.
Well, Vance, in 69 and 70, his career crashed. I think he lost 5 games 1 year and 5 the next, and quite frankly, many were wondering in 1970 if Bryant was too old. At the time, he was in his late 50s. And that's when the famous decision was made to go out to Texas. This is where Darryl Royal came in. And Darryl Royal's offensive coordinator was Emery Ballard, who had invented the wishbone. And Bryant went out there.
And what was it?
And you all know the rest of the
story. And then what they do, they sequestered the football field. The players didn't even know what was going on in summer practice. He had assistant coaches on the roofs of houses so nobody could watch him.
But here was a smart thing he did, though, Vance, because I know I talked to some people who were part of it. He brought a couple of guys in the media in and leveled with them, but said you can't and listen, nobody was going to report something that drew the wrath of Bear Bryant. So a few people knew about it, not many. And then they unveiled it in that famous game against Southern Cal at the Coliseum and completely changed the next 10 years.
Absolutely. And the best guy to hear talk about that those two years in a row against Southern Cal is John Hanna.
Oh, yeah. Great player.
And that's a very interesting time. And that offense just snuck, because I don't believe for a minute that Alabama was better than USC that year.
No, no. But they didn't know what they were dealing with. They had no earthly idea what was happening on the football field. Hey, thanks, Vance. I really appreciate that. That is truly one of the more remarkable moments of that era. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And Jim is in Texas. So hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Have enjoyed, being a Texas guy, new to all this, and enjoying listening to your show as I can over the last 6 to 8 months, getting ready for SEC days. And this may be kind of a dumb question, but on your current Paul Feinbaum theme song, there's a line that makes me chuckle every time I hear it, and it's the "Let me talk, Danny. Okay, go" line. Is there any backstory to those callers?
Is it part of the song? Oh, okay. What that is two of our more infamous callers, Jim and Tammy, who has passed away, and they are going back and forth.
Ah, gotcha.
That is not technically part of the song.
Okay. Okay. And then, hey, for the new song, it's the recommendation for both Texas and Oklahoma would be, the obviously something in the theme of "The Eyes of Texas Are Upon You." And then for Oklahoma, the common saying is, well, and I know this is a PG show, but the common saying in Texas is "OU sucks." So if Mr. Hicks could incorporate that.
Well,
in,
I know Taylor is currently working on it. I'm going to see him soon, and we'll find out where we are. But that hey, thank you so much for the call. That is one of the most asked questions we have, and we simply don't. The guys in the other room may have talked to Taylor more recently than I have. I know they have. So I don't think it would be all that difficult to add two more verses to a song, would it? We're about to find out. Swamp Dog is up next. Hello, Swamp.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Glad to talk to you again. You should have, I talked to you about placing a bet on Alabama beating North Carolina or I-Man getting over Sabanitis.
And, we should have gone with the... I think we thought Alabama had a better chance of beating North Carolina, didn't we?
Yes, right. That's what you said. You would have made some money if you'd actually put some money
on
that.
I wouldn't be here today. I'd be out on a yacht.
Yeah. And, I think they're going to be fine going forward. Maybe better than Tennessee. What do you think? Better?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now they have an easier road. And Clemson is a team they already lost to. They lost to Clemson in November. And Tennessee has a very difficult game tonight. Creighton is a really good
late
team. I mean, it's not a sure thing. And then more than likely playing Purdue is even a taller hill to climb. But I know some people that are pretty nervous about tonight's game with Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, too. Please don't cut me off. I want to talk to you for a minute. That John McKay thing, I think that the other caller had on there. What he said was a reporter asking, he said, "What do you think of your team's execution?" And he said, "I'm all for it. I think they should all be executed." They were in the middle of a 27-game losing streak, So that's what he said.
Well, that was funnier the second time. Swamp Dog, hate to run. We're up against a break. You want to try that a version of the story?
No.
We'll have another version of that story coming up in a minute. It's really funny making fun of people about to get executed. We're back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome all of you back. Matt is up next in Austin, Texas. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul. Happy Easter to you.
Thank you very much. You too.
I'm looking forward to two things this Easter season. One is I've been looking forward for some time to the upcoming New York Times bestseller entitled You'll Never Believe What Really Happened by Jimmy Sexton with Paul Feinbaum.
Woo.
You might sell a few books with that.
You've obviously been bugging my phone lately.
There you go. The other thing I'm looking forward to is the renewal of our rivalry with our friends from College Station. And I was thinking, instead of calling it the Lone Star Showdown or some lame name like that, it could be called the NIL Bowl and sponsored by Fort Knox.
Am I correct? I'm trying to remember in terms of endowments. Isn't Texas and A&M at the very top of the list? I thought I read that somewhere.
Really quick story. In the 1870s or whatever, the Texas legislature was founding the two schools and did not want to give them any money. So they created this permanent university fund and gave them a bunch of worthless land in West Texas.
Ooh.
And they never would have done it had they known that all that oil was there. But yes, they have the biggest endowment next to Harvard.
So didn't Texas end up with a bigger share than A&M, a significantly bigger share?
That's right, because money talks.
Right.
And speaking of money talks, at the Texas and Texas A&M game this year, the best person to do the ceremonial coin toss would be the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. And instead of a golden hat or some silly trophy, you know, let's play for the $1 million in Ted's briefcase. What do you think?
Well, I cannot wait. I know people hear us talk about this, but I don't think they have any idea how big this is. And I think I do believe it's bigger on one side than the other, and you know what I'm talking about, but it's still great.
That's right. And so as I look forward to that, I just want to remind all of my friends at A&M, Justin Tucker, it's good. See you, Paul.
Thank you. That was, for those who don't keep up with these things, I think it was a field goal, wasn't it? The last time A&M in Texas played, he made the winning kick. I actually interviewed somebody in Austin this week, and he was telling, it was a, he or somebody with us was telling me the story that in his office he was the chancellor at Texas a couple of years ago. He had that picture in the office. Dominic in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul. I heard you and Randy are looking for somewhere to go for Easter supper on Sunday.
Yeah.
I would like to personally invite you and your family to come up to the Berg. You know there's going to be some good food there because I'm part Croatian, like Savin.
Oh, I didn't know you were Croatian.
Yeah, we're going to have ham, kielbasa, homemade bread, wedge salad, lamb chops, steaks, crab cakes, and obviously some desserts.
I like the homemade bread and the crab cakes. Randy, you hear anything in there you liked? Randy likes ham. So what time is there nonstop between here and Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
What time are you eating on Sunday?
We're eating around 2.
Okay, well, yeah, we could probably catch a mid-morning flight, Randy and I, and be up there. Do you live do you live anywhere near the airport?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I didn't want to have to drive for 50 miles just to get some crab cakes. I could stop in Baltimore someplace quicker.
Yeah, well, I'd pick you up.
Okay. Do you drive yet, Dominic, even though you're only 13?
No, but I sure can.
I bet you can.
And how about that game last night, Paul? I wish I had your phone number. I was ready to talk about the game last night with you.
Oh, well, I should give it to you, Dominic. I would have been more than happy at what? It was close to midnight. Yeah, we could have been real timing it.
Yeah. And how about the whole Bama team stepping up knowing Reitzel was hurt and couldn't play?
I thought that was amazing because when we heard that news yesterday from Nick Kelly, it just seemed somewhat hopeless, quite frankly, that Alabama was going to be able to overcome that. But hey, it's one of the oldest cliches in sports. Somebody has to step up, and we saw who did that.
Especially Nelson. What a performance from the bison turned elephant and put on a show last night, making Baycott look like a baby.
Yeah, Mr. RJ, not exactly a great farewell.
Yeah, Mr. RJ, I don't think his name's Davis. I think his name's Brick.
I agree. Mr.
And
RJ Brick, because that's all he put up last night.
Yeah, he could not make anything. And how about Griffin shooting lights out, Paul?
It was amazing, Dominic.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.